Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17, the healer in a diseased world. This text in Matthew chapter 8 reveals Jesus as the great physician, who is willing to heal you, who can heal you, and who is often proactive to heal you. First of all, Jesus is ready to heal. Look at verses 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." That first verse tells us that great multitudes followed him. So an important truth is that those who Christ reveals himself to desired to know him more. Among the crowd was a leper. The leper had no doubt about Jesus' ability to heal him, only his will to do so. In Mark's parallel account, we gain more information about the event. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' He was moved with compassion and healed him." Jesus is often ready to heal, even when we're not sure he will. Verse 4 is always interesting to me. Tell no one. Why? Well, I believe it's because publicity of the healing might hinder Jesus' ministry by turning attention from his message and placing it on the miracles. Again, Mark's account demonstrates my point. In Mark chapter 1, verse 45, it says, "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." In excitement over the miracle, the man did exactly what Jesus told him not to do. It doesn't record whether he went to the priests to do what Jesus told him to do, a sacrifice of two birds. Because you see, Leviticus chapter 14, verses 4 through 7 tell us, "Then the priest shall command to take from him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Tell no one. Show yourself to the priests with the gift. This is obedience, which would become a testimony to the religious leaders to what God did in healing him." So, Jesus is ready to heal. Second, Jesus has power to heal. Look at verse 5 down to verse 13. "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Wow. Words spread, and another came to Jesus for healing. A centurion was a Roman commander over 100 soldiers. He was a Gentile, and that's important. Jesus was ready to meet the need. I will come and heal him. What happened next caused Jesus to be amazed. See again the centurion's response in verses 8 and 9. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. A Jewish person becomes ceremoniously defiled if he enters a Gentile's house. The centurion may have known the law and did not want to put Jesus in such a situation. Yet he had the faith that Jesus could heal by merely speaking a word. The centurion understood Jesus' complete authority. Even Jesus' own disciples didn't see so clearly. They freaked out in the storm. Verse 26. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. As he displayed his amazement, Jesus went on to provide a reality check for the Jews who followed him. Gentiles will be in the kingdom with Abraham and the other heroes of faith, experiencing God's salvation and his blessing, but many of the sons of Israel will not be there, but in hell instead. There are some who think they're fine with God and will go to heaven when they die. How sadly mistaken some are. What about you? Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Are you saved? Did you all acknowledge yourself as a sinner? Did you believe that you deserve punishment? Did you believe Jesus died for your sin? Did you confess and believe that he rose from the dead? And did you ask him to forgive you and to save you? Did you do that? Jesus demonstrated the power that the centurion believed he had. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. And then third, Jesus takes the initiative to heal. Look at verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus' compassion for those who in need prompts him to act. He didn't wait for Peter's mother-in-law to ask or for Peter to ask in her behalf. He saw the need and he powerfully met it. God's Word tells us that God answers our prayers before we even ask. This passage concludes with a narrative of many being brought to Jesus to be healed and delivered of demons. We have an advanced picture of what Jesus was going to later do on the cross. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Physical healing, deliverance from spiritual attack, and victory over death. All of these are guaranteed by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. But they will not be fully realized until we're in glory. This prophecy is filled with substitution language. Our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, our peace. By His stripes we're healed. You have a great day.